response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time sitting in today on the afternoon show with you up until 4:30. Then it is the Rich Cioli podcast, then Penn State basketball. All that squeezing through this. And what a news day. I have coming up the Inquirer, this editor columnist, saying that Wawa's declining. How about some hometown pride saying you can tell Sheetz is coming into our neighborhood? I mean, Wawa has been one of the all-time greats for this ungrateful mob of a city, Philadelphia, has it not? How many millions have they contributed to one cause after another? Even the fraudulent July 4th stuff that they do, in my view, which we'll get to. We also have the three bumps on the log, all three of them, the alleged Republican two, just decreeing the Bucks County commissioners they will not allow, well, they're against it anyhow, a processing or detention center in Bucks County for ICE. Isn't that something that they use for due process? How are those people going to get due process when picked up that quickly? And they have the nerve, Gino DiGirolamo, Dominic Joseph Giordano. We share something, Gino, heritage of a sort, citing not just Japanese internment camps, what? But Italian internment camps. I think it was Seabrook, New Jersey. What is wrong with you people in the suburbs that these are the people elected? I did notice on Fox a lot of people today with ashes. Editor's note, Brett Baer's ash. Henry was making a point. Looks like the priests gave us just a little dab. Martha McCollum, right down Broadway.
Yeah.
But if you saw Linda Kearns on with Dawn today on YouTube, must have been two priests who put that on. That's going to stay on for days. Don't wash that forehead, Linda.
Yeah, use both hands for that.
Yes. All right, Kirk, quick question for you. All right, I didn't tell you I was going to do this.
Uh-oh.
But it involves Linda Kearns. And Linda last week, on Friday, the stuff she brought me at Roe. When I get home today, it'll be a little bit later, Ro. That bell will be ringing later. She's timed to have it at 4:30 to have that drink ready.
Yeah.
The slippers.
And what about the eye mask?
Oh, the eye mask. That's for later. That's for fun later. Linda has such a good sense of humor.
Yes.
So anyhow, she gave me the proper size for the slippers. And she says, Henry didn't. He knows that's in the producers. That's like government secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I had Jim Kelly guess, and boy, what an excursion was that. What size would the slippers be for me, do you think, Kirk?
Size 12.
All right. What are you basing that on?
Your height.
I think he knows something there. Henry,
how about you? No, I don't. I really don't.
I'll be devil's advocate. I'll say 11.
All right. Well, Jim Kelly said size 10, and he says he takes a 10 and a half. So it's a frame of reference, and he's still short of me. It is a size 12.
Oh, wow. All right.
Honest to goodness, I really didn't know.
What size are Dan's, do we think? Is he a
13, at least. I think a 13.
Yeah, but I've never been around anybody that had a 14.
So
I think, yeah, who?
Me.
You have a 14?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Holy moly. I wear a size 12. But,
that puts it to the head of the producer class.
Exactly. I don't understand why I never got taller.
Okay, yeah.
I thought I was going to be huge in eighth grade. I'm a size 14 shoe.
If anybody has a bigger shoe than that, when we're at Mulligan's or now on YouTube, hold up your foot, Henry.
Exactly right.
What was it? Bob Lanier was a size 21, and that was a problem. The big toe would sometimes be in the lane, and I don't think he even knew it. He couldn't see that far. I know he had a size 21. That's the biggest I've seen. Imagine a size 21
foot. What
did
Shaq have?
I was about to say, Shaq's like a 24.
I don't think he had a 21. A 14. All right. So
Shaq was a 23.
Wow.
Oh, my God. What are the odds that Dan might be a 14?
I think he's 14.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards 14.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a contest.
No, I want to be the biggest at the station. He's a 13.
He's a 13. I guess a 13 because, you know, just keeping it closer to the 12. But Jim Kelly right away with a 10, and he's a 10 and a half. How does that make sense?
He's been around you for years.
Yeah, that's right. His estimate, that's a size 10. Come on.
Yeah, when I saw it, yeah. I took a shot. Yeah, and it was definitely a 12.
Yeah. So Linda Kearns, great legal eagle. The correct size, I think the mask was good, and the shot glass. I was a little bit out of line with the wine and all. She says Italians use that. I don't know about that, Linda. A little bit off. Nice stuff, though. Okay, so we have the Bucks County people, 855-839-1210. We're going to hear from Gerald Posner at some point today. Big story out of New York, big hospital, Mark Siegel's. Now, no more surgeries, particularly with minors. I'm not sure if they're over 18. I'll have to clarify that around the whole trans thing. The wave has gone out. It's the tide has gone out here on this whole thing. All of a sudden, you know how these things where it hits a point, a tipping point. I think we're at the tipping point, except with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. What do they know over there that other scientists and doctors don't? Oh, Henry, you have a response from Roe. Yes. Go ahead.
Got me chuckling. Yeah. She says, quote, "He'll never find any of Linda Kearns' things." she has a great sense of humor, but it's 2026. I expect dinner for me made today.
Whoa.
You know what?
Whoa.
I would be willing to make it, but the results are disastrous.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I made it before. No, not well. The spaghetti's a little bit challenged, I'll say.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that Ro actually wants to do that. She knows ultimately it's not worth it. It's not worth the effort to do.
Yeah, I knew Ro's not going to do any of those things. I knew that was going to.
She might, Henry. Come on, at least it's a joke. Linda Kearns, though, what a woman. And the stuff she comes up with, perfectly played and even the right shoe size. How do we get? I know she didn't ask anybody here.
No,
that I'm aware of.
She didn't ask me.
She didn't ask me either.
Nope. That.
Now, speaking of shoe sizes, how's that a segue? Diane Marseglia, Bob Harve, Harve deGrasse Harvey. And Gino D.G. Girolamo, along with Brian Fitzpatrick, have just ruled that Bucks County is not that type of place. They will not allow in any way that they can, with Fitzpatrick leading the way, a, quote, detention center or even processing center for ICE. So I'm not saying they don't have a right to where this would be located. And even there should be inspections. We hear this all the time. But where is ICE going to put all these people while they're waiting for their turn to get a full and fair due process? We hear due process all the time. And if that's the case, where are they going to be put if they're in Bucks County? Is everybody going to be transported to Reading? That's where the battle's going to be. No, what they're saying in Bucks County and what they're saying in these other places, ICE is not going to be allowed to pick anybody up, even the worst of the worst. So, Diane, if we had to put some of these criminals on ICE over there, right, you're opposed to that. Now, let's leave aside those just here allegedly without any other criminal matter. The worst of the worst. Nope, not in Bucks County. Again, how many times do I have to underline this? The suburbs have lost their mind. Now, she's not up to re-election, I believe, to 27. And, of course, Scott Presler has that on his list, more important than presidential primaries, to be here in Bucks County. All right, that's one thing. One other quick thing, and you call in this. I'm coming to you on the side question, too. This from Daniel Pearson, and I did reply to him, what a bizarre take on Twitter. Pearson is a columnist and I think somewhat of an editor over at the Philadelphia Inquirer. We'll invite him on. He tweeted out, Wawa has fallen off. They don't know how to operate stores in Center City, Philadelphia. And now their rivals sense their weakness and are moving into their turf. And he identifies himself, you know, as he should. He uses a headline from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Sheets wants to move into Delaware County, home of Wawa. Okay. So picture these country bumpkins. You know, I hate to be that harsh. I've only went to a Sheetz once when we used to go to Harrisburg for the governor's show to compare that to Wawa. And it is substandard. It's there's a lot of business type of stuff of flashing and all that. I think they had beer in there that I remember. Henry, you've been to Sheetz, right? Yeah. You're in Bloomsburg. What do you say?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of bells and whistles.
That's what
I'm
saying.
To distract from just mediocre food. Like, you can put like jalapeno, you know, poppers on your cheeseburger. And it's like, that's fine.
Right.
Burger still kind of stinks, you know? Like,
all right. Now, Wawa's only capital punishment in joke, metaphorically, is the pizza. Stop with the pizza stuff. Everything else will be fine. They seem to be trying. Imagine now going after, is there a company more identified with the Philadelphia area? Schwarber bombs, you know, the whole thing with the hoagies, the whole thing.
Hoagie Fest,
the whole thing they do with Independence Day. And these ingrates at the Enquirer and other places just can't stand that. Willing to point out they see decline here. You know what it's about. It's not about Wawa expanding, which, hey, that's their business. They've been really successful. I mean, I've read different articles, how convenient they try to make it. We've had callers today say they have upped their game, it seems to be, and being polite and friendly and all that. That's my experience. I don't notice decline here in the food or anything else. Now, not that I get it that frequently, and the pizza is a problem. But saying they can't operate in Center City, why don't they learn how to do that? Can you imagine? Isn't this, I think I found the nugget here with this guy in the Enquirer. Sitting in their ivory tower, and it used to be truly an ivory tower. I'm not sure where they are now. They're over on Market Street. In their ivory tower, telling Wawa, who has to deal with Krasner shoplifting, every vagrant hanging out. And what are you going to do? They're not going to move them along. The police don't seem like they're going to move them along. Everybody thinks, well, the homeless have to be somewhere. Let them be there at 12th and Market and the other locations. And the shoplifting, what are you going to do about it? You get too tough on this, that's a problem with Krasner. Yeah, well, Krasner says, I never said if it's under $1,000. Yes, you did. We have it in writing. It goes on and on and on. Taking a shot at Wawa to defend Krasner and what they've allowed Center City to become, to be overrun by this nonsense. And then pointing to using Sheetz coming here. How in the world is this the paper of Philadelphia? Wawa is a brilliantly centered partner of all things Philadelphia. I don't know who I would say has been a better corporate sponsor, just like I think the Phillies over the years have. Not so much the Eagles at various points. Not so bad now. All right, phone lines. You can get in on this. Hit us on the side question. I don't know. The break thing here in the afternoon is at 15?
Yeah, same as usual.
Okay. All right, 855-839-1210. We're with you until 4:30. You never played the side question before. Something associated with victory, person, place, thing, because today is the day they raised the flag on Iwo Jima. Now, we had a slight correction. I think the guy's probably right. That didn't signal the end of actually the war on Iwo Jima. But I think it was the high point and then the mop up, maybe. That's the way I would put it. And it rallied America to see that flag go up. Now, others have tried to pull that down a bit, but it seems to me a moment in that struggle that was unbelievable, because as bad as it was fighting the Germans, the Japanese, we know the tension there of what would have happened if we had to invade, and Iwo Jima was particularly bloody, beyond belief, and the American public had to deal with that. They were looking for a rallying point, and this certainly. Think of the iconic images. I can think of no better photo that moves me than the kiss. I don't care what the photo is anytime, every time we do this. The sweetness of it, the relief of it. And that woman was not a nurse. That's how a dental hygienist dressed back then. You know, pretty fancy for it in Times Square. It's in Sarasota, Florida, I've been told. So that moment captures it. But the combined forces there raising the flag on Iwo Jima, yeah, I think that rallied America. We're going to beat them. The savagery of the war in the Pacific, all that came home. All right, phone lines. We'll get you at 855-839-1210.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, Dom Giordano, Dom Time, sitting in today with you up until Rich Cioli time, his podcast today at 4:30. What a news day. I don't know how Rich will fit it into an hour. We'll have that, then Penn State basketball. But I didn't even get to Sherrell Parker yet and what's behind this. And the rumor we'll get into about when Trump would send ICE into Philadelphia, which is ridiculous. Just think the 250th anniversary. I'll get into it, but first let's go to this Wawa thing. By the way, on my Twitter at DomShow1210, you can say, yes, Wawa is declining, or hell no. Either one, it's like 82% the last time that said, what are you talking about? Wawa declining. All because Wawa, and they didn't rub the nose of Krasner and the city in it. They were circumspect about it. But they got out of Dodge, and they're right. The Philadelphia Inquirer and this guy Pearson, essentially they're saying, you got to suffer here in Philadelphia to be real Philadelphia. You have to be in a world of unreality. You have to put up with the fact that people can shoplift, the homeless can make this their home. That's the urban lifestyle. That's what the Inquirer is saying, and if Wawa can't do it, maybe Sheetz can. I want to see Sheetz put a store. Come on, Sheetz, put a store in there at 12th and Market. Let's see what happens. Can you imagine the show? Sheetz is in the suburb. I don't even know if they're in Pittsburgh or we'll have to look it up. Do they have stores in downtown Harrisburg? What's that like? This is the attitude in Philadelphia. To be a good port, you have to pony up the money and you have to shut up about what you have to endure as a business. We'll see if the guy will come on and tell us why he's saying Wawa is in decline. Has he counted the ham sandwiches over there or something? If he put a pizza remark in, I might be interested. That's the only crime here with Wawa and how successful they are.
The breakdown between Sheetz and Wawa locations.
Yes.
Sheetz has over 820 convenience stores in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, right. Maryland, and Michigan. Wawa has just under 1,200 stores, with the most in Florida, New Jersey, right. And Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they're in 14 states across the country.
I didn't know they were in 820 now. Yeah, I just would like to see how many are these in, Sheetz doesn't have any in a place like downtown Philadelphia. That's the test. I don't even know if Harrisburg would be the test. They're not run well either. But I don't know if they have a Krasner-like attorney there who says, hey, shoplift all that you want. And it's more than that. People hang out there all day. They harass people. They beg. They're on them, etc. And what can they do about it? Well, chase them away. Get the police. They're not going to do it. That's Philadelphia. That's what the mentality is. All right, let me go to Sean in Bucks. And Sean, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Sean, welcome in.
Hey. Dom, how are you?
Good, Sean.
Don't worry about Rich Cioli. I'm sure he's got a whole boatload of stuff to talk about. But
well, I don't know how he squeezes it into an hour. I got to listen to that and see if they're going to. I'm telling you, this is a big, big news day.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't know where Wawa, all of a sudden became like the stop on the turnpike, though it's on Bustleton Avenue or... It used to be a convenience store. Now I find it to be an inconvenience store because it's all self-serve. You got to do your own coffee. You got to order your own sandwich. You got to pay for it yourself. And then they check your receipt on their way out.
Well, wait a minute. Is that in Northeast Philly or in Bucks County? Your Wawa?
There's one. Lower Southampton,
right.
On the boulevard by, Old Lincoln Highway.
They're all automated. Now, the one in West Philly closed because of that, because people didn't want it.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be you walked in, mm-hmm. you ordered your shorty, you ordered a cup of coffee, and then, they gave it to you, and you went to the cashier. You checked out. Now, you got to order it yourself. You got to tell you what you want on it, on your sandwich,
mm-hmm.
What size, and you got to pay for it in advance, or at least get a little ticket.
Well, that's ordinary though. That's been standard for years. All right, thanks, Sean, very much. I'll take a look at that. That might be a criticism. They've gone too much automated.
Wait, how did they do it before?
That's the way they've been doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean? How are they supposed to know what you want in your sandwich?
Right. Right. I know they did this automated store completely over in West Philly, and that failed. I know that it was shoplifting, and/or people didn't want to do that with no one there. But yeah, standard. You go in, you hit a touch screen, you order it, you pay in advance, and then you come back and you wait, and they give you the tickets. Pretty effective. Yeah. And they've done it 15, 20 years, thereabouts.
It's the same thing at Sheetz, too.
Yeah, yeah. Jack in West Deptford on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jack, good afternoon.
Oh, hi. Good to talk to you.
Same,
I
Jack.
Have so much, three or four things I want to get to. I hope I have time to. I'm just going to say some words, and I'm going to talk about them. Gustavo and immigration, billionaires, kings, dictators, first lady, Madonna. I'll get to the thing about immigration. The thing here, the left, when you say the word, they don't care about sex crimes, child sex crimes, rape, murder, mm-hmm. and all the crimes. They don't care about that. The thing that'll get through to them is you got to pose this question. Where were they when President Obama deported 3 million and he talks, there's a video of him talking about immigration. Where were they when Hillary Clinton said, we got to get the criminal illegal immigrants out of this country? Where were they when Bill Clinton talked about it? Where were they when Nancy Pelosi, video and her?
Yeah, good point, Jack. And we know, and their argument is, which is fallacious, their argument is, yeah, but we didn't have all this carnage. Now, the only thing I would tell you, in fairness, when Kristi Noem, who's got to go, I don't know if you haven't listened to me before. Kristi Noem's got to be out of there. Put Tom Homan in, tag him in today. And Bovino, they weren't good in Minnesota. When Homan got there, and by the way, the former Homeland Security chief for Obama today commended Homan and said he's very, very good at performance and a good guy. You put Homan in and what happened? He did what, on my show, Paul Morrow came on and said from Fox. I said enough people there. You have to cordon off those trying to disrupt what they're doing, have a free zone, let them do their operation, then get out of there. You don't be jawing with these people. You don't allow them to interfere when you have enough people there around whoever you're trying to take out. That makes a lot of sense. Noem and Bovino did not get that. Put Homan into this. Let him organize it more now that he is pretty clearly. And you see what happens. ICE can be effective. And we don't see any of the collateral stuff that happened in Minnesota. Now, that's not caving in to anybody. It's just smart police work. And to that point, and I'm going to ask some of these people, where are the other police organizations? Do they support ICE or not? The cops, do they support ICE or not? Well, you know, that's too tough to say. They're all law enforcement. They're under fire. And I'm talking about the ICE of Tom Homan, not so much the Bovino Noem thing situations that we saw. Not that I think that cop was guilty of anything with Ms. Good in that zone. Homan ought to be in charge. Now, I don't think Trump's going to do it until it calms down with Noem as far as the pressure from Democrats to get her out of there. But you know in your heart of hearts, and I know, we'd be a lot better off with Homan. And then you put Homan's minion, whoever that is he trusts, in charge as border czar that reports to him. And I think we're very effective. But what Fitzpatrick and the Gang of Three, including the Republican, did in Bucks County today is outrageous. How are we supposed to process people that ICE has apprehended or detain for their due process? How are we going to do that, Bucks County? But this is how the suburbs have changed. Now, Montgomery County, you would expect this, right? They've changed quite a while ago. Chester County, they would do it too. Delaware County is the most progressive of all. Do people agree with that, Adam Bucks? Yeah, we don't want that here. Okay, then. So even the worst of the worst, you don't want to be processed. You don't want due process. In Bucks County. You don't want to hear them, even if it wasn't in an isolated spot in Bucks County, wherever they put it. All right, I'm coming to you next. Hit us on the side question today. Something that signifies, associates with victory. At around 422, 423, we'll determine the winner today. Put your name into the hat for the grand prize at the end of the week. Coming up, let me break down, play you, if you missed some of it, Sherelle Parker, who I think in some areas has been deficient, but certainly is not a clown, and certainly much better than Jim Kenney, and certainly better than any of the alternatives we had in the last election. Going back and forth with this activist masquerading as an investigative reporter for NBC 10 about sanctuary cities versus welcoming cities. All right, what's the difference? Well, there's really no difference. But I'll tell you what's at play here with Parker politically. And I think her instincts are not progressive. They're liberal, but not progressive. And why President Trump has not done anything here in Philadelphia yet. What would happen if he did? 855-839-1210. We may hear from Gerald Posner coming up, the guy who wrote the book that proved to me that Oswald did it. Big investigator now on this whole trans issue. Big news on that today. Dom sitting in here on the afternoon show on Talk Radio 1210.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, it is Dom time sitting in today on the afternoon show with you up until 4:30. Our buddy Robert of Ben Salem put it brilliantly a moment ago on Twitter. Wawa doesn't have a declining business model. The city of Philadelphia is the one with the declining business model. But, you know, there's so much here in Philadelphia that's just infrastructure. They can't screw it up that much that they'll always be okay. But that's about all. So think about it. Wawa's declining. They can't handle Center City Philadelphia. Is that the way to put this, or is that another sign of the decline of how bad Philadelphia is? They can't handle even one of their biggest boosters, one of the faces, Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia, Wawa. You know it, and I know it, and I know it better than anybody, Philadelphia Inquirer. Gerald Posner is a hero of mine. The brilliance of this guy over his career, starting off when I first heard the name with the Lee Harvey Oswald situation. And the definitive proof, every time I see a Kennedy film, I saw the LBJ film on Netflix recently. If you're ever in Dallas, go to the museum. I think it's still there. You can stand, look through plexiglass right behind where Lee Harvey Oswald shot. And I think it might give you a good perspective. But he has, over the years now, moved on to other things. And whatever he moves on to, the insight, the investigation is huge. And he was way ahead of the curve on the whole trans surgery, gender-affirming care. And what we're seeing again today, New York City, Mark Siegel's hospital announced they will not do any of that. Here in Philadelphia, though, the big guy, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia still is. Let's go to Gerald Posner here on Talk Radio 1210. Gerald, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining today.
Great to be back with you. And it's amazing that Children's Hospital in Philadelphia still has not sort of come into this reversal. You know, medical groups are finally realizing it's a mistake having, this gender surgeries for young kids. And places, like you said, NYU Langone, fantastic today, but still not getting in Philly.
What is it that drew you to this, that we've talked with you a lot about it over the last 4 or 5 years? When was the point where it piqued your interest to investigate, to write about it, think about it?
So, you know, it was two things. When I finished my book on the pharmaceutical industry in 2020, one of the things I wasn't able to write about was how doctors are able to prescribe medications off-label. So if you're a doctor, you can take something approved by the FDA and you can give it off-label. And I wasn't able to have the room in that book to talk about puberty blockers, which are given out by doctors in gender medicine. It's a $1 billion a year business. They're not approved by the FDA. There are drugs used for the chemical castration of sex, you know, convicted sex molesters. And they're very, very powerful drugs. They're still dispensed to 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids to stop puberty. It always seemed to me there was a story there. And I just wanted to write one story, which I did in the Wall Street Journal, called The Truth About Puberty Blockers back in 2023. And that opened up the Pandora's box, because I ended up hearing from parents. I ended up hearing from people who had gone through the process. I heard from families. And the same thing that drove me on the opioid crisis when I was writing about that, it becomes a human story. It becomes a story about people who came out of it as parents and families and said, you know what, there's something wrong with the way medicine's approaching this issue when it comes to kids, because our kids have been through it and they're now sorry about it, but they can't change anything because the changes made to them are permanent. That's what got my interest as a journalist.
And Gerald, they were bludgeoned to death, and I think this might be part of the change. Well, if you don't do this, your kid is likely or somewhat likely to try to commit suicide.
Boy, you know, you're exactly right. And that was used time and time again. People were told if parents hesitated at all in the process where their kids caught a contagion, they said, by the way, I think I'm a different gender. I'm in the wrong body. I want to change over. And 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids, by the way, have no idea about permanent consequences. They can't understand that the brain's not fully developed. So you as the parent say, by the way, let's slow this up a little bit. And guess what? The therapist, if they were a gender-affirming activist, would say, oh, you can't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to end up with a dead child. The suicide rate's very high. And guess what? You won't be surprised when I tell you that that's been proven absolutely false.
Right.
The suicide rate is not higher. It's one of those falsehoods. It's a canard that's been repeated time and again and was used to sort of rush kids into the gender medical pipeline. Those parents, if anything else, should have lawsuits lining up against those practitioners.
Well, to that point, the lawsuit of $2 million for the psychologist and the doctor involved, who seemed to be pretty cavalier at moving the kid quickly through this, that seems to have really now intensified what we're seeing. Are we at a tipping point now? Do you think? I was Gerald, one of the biggest supporters of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. There were multiple cases. My son was in there when he was 18. We saw the 18 months. We saw the care up close and all that. And I still think a lot of that's there. But now it's clear they are flying in the face of science, of settled science, when people are moving like this, like we saw in New York today.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And you're absolutely correct when you say you can have a medical institution, a hospital that does great work, saves lives, is doing all types of good work on cancer care, on heart and everything else. And then they have this branch in gender identity, and it's hard to fathom the two. There was recently a $2 million verdict, the first of its kind, which was critical. But that really didn't decide the issue. The jury didn't have to decide whether pediatric gender-affirming care was correct or not. They decided that in that case, those clinicians had not followed any rules at all and had sort of rushed the child in. But I do think that's an important case because it's going to start what I call the avalanche of cases eventually. One of the things that made the opioid crisis, the greatest prescription lethal drug crisis we had, epidemic in American history, finally stop, was the tsunami of litigation against Purdue Pharma, against the Sacklers, against all the other opioid. So, you know, we all complain about trial lawyers. I'm a lawyer. I'm a non-practicing lawyer. And I know the trial lawyers and the plaintiff's bar and the class action lawyers can get a bad reputation. But to the extent that they're going to get involved in this area, I think that will be some of the things that slowed up. And we've seen the American Society of Plastic Surgeons and the American Medical Association start to pull back. They've now said, oh, we're reversing the position on surgeries for minors. We don't think they should have that until they're 19. Now, beforehand, they had the foot on the pedal on the gas. And so we're still waiting for the American Society of Psychiatry and the psychologists. They're involved in they're the gateway doctors who sort of deal with this in terms of therapy. We're waiting for them to come around. But I think we are starting to see the tipping point, as you said.
Next up for you, I have a thought for you. You probably have a bunch of projects there, too, and maybe sometimes they're blocked. You know, they're not ready for it, and you can't break through. Ozempic is fascinating to me. The number of people, we just saw Serena Williams in the Super Bowl with that. I don't think Serena Williams needs to do this. But there are side effects, there are things there, and we don't know enough about that, this craze, this tipping point, it's all over the place. Any thoughts on that? Have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And so, I mean, here's the problem. I know this is the DNA of the pharmaceutical industry,
yes,
is that there's always a new wonder drug. That wonder drug catches everybody up. In the 1960s, it was Valium, believe it or not. Everyone thought Valium was something that you could take as an anti-anxiety pill, and there was no downside to it, and it was absolutely fine. And then, you know, it took 10 years until you found out it was addictive, and benzodiazepines had problems and everything else. The GLP-1 drugs, all of these weight loss drugs, in instances in which somebody is really morbidly obese and they have all types of comorbidity, they've got diabetes, they've got high blood pressure, it can be a lifesaver. But people are taking it to lose 15 pounds, 20 pounds, to get in shape, to go to some public event that they have at the Oscars or whatever else. It's been overprescribed without any doubt. And in 3, 4, 5 years, mark my words, I don't know what they are, but we'll be reading stories in newspapers, and we'll be seeing them on the net and in documentaries about the side effects that nobody knew existed. It's the way that the drug industry always works. You get a popular drug, it's overprescribed. Mm-hmm. People use it who really are on the borderline of using it, maybe shouldn't. They think there's no downside at all. And then later you find out what those downsides are. So I think we're going to see that here. It's not to say, I'm not saying to people that these aren't drugs that can be helpful, but there are, without any doubt to me, there will be a series of side effects. We're starting to see some of them pop up, but the real ones are still down the road a little bit.
What are you working on now, near future, right now? What's Gerald Posner up to? What are you investigating, thinking about?
I wish that there were more hours in the day, because sometimes it's like throwing a dart at the board. And what I mean by that, and you'll understand this completely. So I'm doing some work to try to find out the flow of money on these offshore banks and who financed what I call the anti-Israel pro-Hamas demonstrations after October 7th. The foreign funding mm-hmm. of those organizations that then turned into, for a while, the anti-Tesla, anti-Musk. Remember when that was the thing?
Yeah.
They were throwing
exactly.
Molotov cocktails of that. Then it became the anti-ICE. Now they've forgotten about Gaza for the moment, and except for Greta Thunberg, who's still on Gaza, they're all over to ICE. And I'm trying to follow and put together the funding behind that. So, you know, people think that means that I'm saying that the demonstrations are all fake. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're fed. There are people who will take to the streets over a cause, but they're also directed, and sort of fuel is added to the fire, especially in terms of foreign funding. So I'm trying to find that, because I think the Department of Justice could then use some laws to go after some of those groups. So that's my long-term project. But I keep getting distracted by things like the other day in the European Union, in the parliament in Brussels, they took a vote 340 to 141 that approved a resolution. It's non-binding, but it sort of sets the tone that says trans women, who are really men, who identify as women, are really women. And then somebody said, you know, that doesn't sound very good. I don't think it makes sense. So let's put up a resolution to show we at least have some sanity. We will say that only women can become pregnant. They put that up as a resolution, and it got defeated. So then I spent a couple of days writing about the insanity of that. So, you know, you talk about what I'm doing, but there's these sidetrack diversions from crazy news.
Absolutely. What a throw it is to have you way back when with that to now. So where do we find you? Where do we follow Gerald Posner on X or anywhere else? Where do we go?
Yeah, I think X is where I probably comment more than anywhere else. It's just Gerald Posner. And I have a Substack called Just the Facts. But X pretty much is where you'll see me weighing in, even complaining about things like today I was complaining about the fact that the sheriff in the Nancy Guthrie case, mm-hmm. everything else aside, terrible case, and we all feel horrible, you know, that Nancy Guthrie hasn't been found, and the perp hasn't been found. But I'd love to see the sheriff, instead of doing interviews with television stations one by one. Just hold a press conference if you're going to do it. Have a press conference, let all the reporters ask you the question in an hour, done and out, and then you can go back to the investigation instead of sort of this nonstop slow drip that's partially transparent, you know, interview by interview. So you go on X and you'll get my 2 cents for whatever it's worth about the day.
Gerald, thank you. Thanks so much for always coming on. We appreciate it very much.
As always, great to be with you.
Gerald Posner here on Talk Radio 1210. Henry also had a coup today. He's developed with Ennis Freedom. Maybe we play a little bit of that a little into the 4 o'clock hour. Ennis Freedom talking about, among other things, this Chinese American skier who's skiing for the glory of communist China. But I asked him about tanking in the NBA with Mark Cuban today. Said, yeah, tanking's fine. Just make the experience memorable. People really don't care about the outcome, essentially. Oh, man. The guy's a genius in technology. After that, not so much, to put it mildly. And Ennis Freedom talked about being told about tanking in the NBA. It was like we were in the huddle together.
You better watch out. A Cuban might own the Mavericks again soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I'm serious on that, too.
Oh, well, the guy is just substandard in anything else, but made a fortune in technology. He knows that. He's a pretty good salesman, somewhat. Okay. Somebody on Twitter, though, has given us, Henry, at least I like these figures here, Springsteen tickets, the range at the Xfinity Mobile Arena on May 8th. Yep, we played you. He's coming on tour again. I'll give you that range. And when you hear these, how does this guy pose in the way that he does? And we'll get to the bottom of victory here. That's the side question on Talk Radio 1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, coming to your calls on the side question and everything else, Dom Giordano. Gerald Posner, too, is just incredible. And he is the one. The original book that I think is definitively Harvey Oswald. I've been there, seen it. I think it's definitely doable. But when he gets on to something like this, he's as good as it gets as an investigative and writer. And I think we are seeing the tide go out. Is Children's Hospital going to get the message, or are they more scientific than the rest of the world? We're going to see. All right. Apparently, this is one source. Springsteen today, we played already, launched his Save America tour, democracy, the whole thing, anti-Trump, etc. in America. He's back from foreign shores. And I think he comes to Philadelphia around the beginning of May. And the ticket price on this one site, Dave M. on Twitter, 5/8/2026 Xfinity Mobile Arena, 824 to 7897. Wow. Could it be? It can't be that the cheap look, the 7897, you know, that could be right there in front of him. All right, you got the money, knock yourself out. I don't know who's paying it, but okay. The more disturbing thing to me, does the 824 essentially mean that's relatively the cheapest seat, something like that, or close to it? And that's okay. We're a capitalist country. If you want to see Springsteen, you've been X number of times. Christie will probably be there. Then doesn't he have to shut up about the ordinary stuff, about the little guy fighting the man, the whole shtick that's going on forever and ever, using poetically, I give him that, and I do think as an entertainer, it's all out. And I appreciate that a lot. I only saw him when he did the 21-gun salute to John Kerry. 21 days trying to push Kerry over the line way back in 2004. I was covering it for WWDB. That's the only time. I didn't have to pay, so I didn't contribute. It was a media pass, etc. Oh, okay. They're for two tickets. Okay, but still. That's we're looking at.
It's still not cheap. I mean, the closest solo one's $465.
Yes. Okay. All right. So again, does that match up with Springsteen's imagery that he, and you may remember with the dynamic pricing on top of it before, The bottom line was, well, you know, it's the business. I have nothing to do with that. I don't have control. Come on, you're Bruce Springsteen. You have control of whatever you want to have control over in any way, shape, or form. So if you think the cheapest ticket should be single ticket, $465-ish, and if it's two for the $78.97, if that's front row, you know, those are not as disturbing as the cheap seat ticket price. Love to hear from someone. Anne-Marie, are you out there? Anne-Marie, come on. I know you're going. We love you, Anne-Marie Muldoon. But are you going to pay that amount? And given where Springsteen is at this point. All right. We have a, let me take one more here to get people on board. We're looking for a sign. Joe's got a pretty good one. The great Joe of Exton. What is victory? Joe, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon. When a pope dies, all cardinals worldwide are summoned to the Vatican to elect a new pope. Then ballots are cast. If no pope has been elected, then the ballots are placed in a stove and burned. If the burning ballots emit a black smoke, it indicates that no pope has been elected. If the ballots emit a white smoke, it indicates that a successor pope has finally been elected.
All right. The white smoke is a victory of one person. Yes, yeah. Or a victory that the conclave, by the way, which, what
winning
a
an election.
Bad ending. Yes, it is a win. Okay. So put your name into the hat, just like Joe did with that. And we'll play you a little bit of Ennis Cantor Freedom today when he talked about both the NBA, China, and this ingrate American skier, I guess more, Gu, who is pocketing $23 million and doing most of this for the greater glory of the worst country in the history of the world with power. That would be the Communist Chinese Party, and refusing to answer any questions on it. Not that the media asks very much about that. What should be done about that? We talked to him about endorsements, etc. Well, we're going to try to tell you whatever she endorses. What company would endorse an ingrate like this who came here after Tiananmen Square with their parents, built her brand, built her life, and then goes off the greater glory of the menace to the world? That's exactly what they are. And I'll play you a little bit of Sherelle Parker and give you my thoughts immediately after the break about Parker and Larry Krasner and Trump and what happened yesterday with this reporter and how it all comes together. All straight ahead with Dom until the Rich Cioli podcast here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.